Dear ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the conference call of Nemetschek AG. At our customer's request, this conference will be recorded. As a reminder, all participants will be in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulty hearing the conference, please press the star key followed by zero on your telephone for operator assistance. May I now hand you over to Mr. Mittelmeier, who will lead you through this conference. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Claudia. Good afternoon, everybody, to the Q3 Nemetschek conference call. My name is Ingo Mittelmeier. For those of you who don't know me yet, I'm responsible for investor relations here at Nemetschek. Currently, we have a bit more than 20 participants in the line, which shows us there's pretty much interest in the figures we just published this morning. We're now going ahead with our presentation, and I'd like to ask you your questions right after we have this presentation. I think we'll have enough time for your questions then. Now I'll hand over to Ms. Tania Tamara Greilich, who will lead you through the figures and the most important events of Q3. Thanks.
Thank you, Ingo, and good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to our Q3 call. I will make this a quick overview on our Q3 performance so that we will have sufficient time after the presentation for your questions. As usual, let me start with a quick overview about the most important topics in Q3, and I will expand on this in greater detail on the slides hereafter. I'm referring to page number two, the Q3 headlines. Yeah, let me first highlight the group's performance in Q3. As you can see, we had a successful quarter despite a weakening of the European construction sector and the general deterioration of the economic environment. Group revenue climbed by 11% to euro 43.3 million. The result before interest, taxes, and depreciation, EBITDA, climbed in comparison to 2011 by 6% to euro 10.2 million. We see that also the EBITDA margin was 24%. As you can see, this was mostly driven by strong revenues from software licenses, which increased by 15%, and we see also maintenance contract sales also performing well and coming in 8% higher than Q3 2011. After a weak first half of the year, we see in Q3 that the EBITDA margin recovered to 24%, as mentioned, which was almost at previous year's level again. From now on in our call, we will also highlight how the purchase price allocation from the acquisitions of Graphisoft and SCIA affect our bottom line. Our earnings per share, including the effects of the PPA, came in 12% higher at 0.49 per share compared to Q3 2011. Without the effects of PPA, this would have been at a level of 0.65 per share. Most of our long invested parties know that from 2014 on, we will have only half the PPA, which will then be also an increase in the bottom line. Now let's have a look how the solid performance in Q3 affected our nine-month figures, and I'm referring now to page number three, the nine-month headlines of Nemetschek Group. The revenue acceleration in Q3, of course, was clearly visible in our results for the first nine months. Despite the weak first half of the year, overall revenues increased by 8% to euro 127.7 million. Considering that market conditions are currently weakening and the economic outlook is not as bright as it was anymore, we are quite satisfied with this development. EBITDA also returned to growth after a flat Q2, so it increased by 2% to 28.4 million euros. The EBITDA margin thus came in at a level of 22%, in line with our expectations. As you know, Nemetschek fully repaid all its debt in 2, so our net cash position further increased by 31% to 37.8 million euros. So this is basically what we can sum up as the improving financial in the first 9 months, 2012. Coming more to the headlines within the business of the first 9 months, we see that the situation at our biggest subsidiary, Alzan, shows positive trends already, and the current trading is well in line. So we had a promising Q3 development here, and we spent most of the time in Q3 to really receive a clear picture what issues have to be solved at Alzan. We were already able to initiate first steps to increase profitability and strengthen the market position of Alzan there. And actually, we could earn some of the low-hanging fruits at Alzan that we still see in front of us. So, for example, we streamlined our sales channel and introduced the KPI system for the sales at Alzan to make our sales performance more measurable. And furthermore, we put special emphasis on the release, the launch of the new Alzan 2013 version. Actually, it was the first web marketing launch at Alzan. We held a special kickoff event at Alzan here on the 10th of October, which was very well received by the market. And our focus is now clearly back on what the customer really needs and wants. This is actually what we changed in general at Alzan, that the customer and the market is regaining the focus. And we started to improve SG&A costs in our Alzan optimization cost plan that you have also here as also confirmed. We see us well on track despite negative market tendencies, and you also see here the headline that Alzan optimization costs planned for 2012 are already comprised in the outlook for 2012. So then I would like to expand actually the outlook 2012 later, but first we would like to have also a closer look at Nemetschek's financial performance. I'm referring now to page number 5. As I said, revenue growth increased versus Q2 up to 8% despite not the easiest market environment. And this is because we have a high diversification and leverage effect in our group's market and customer portfolio. Again, growth was accelerated by our growth markets abroad. Revenues grew by 9% to 77 million euros here, with really good results coming from Asia and the United States. So the share of revenue coming from abroad was at a level of 60%. And just to provide you with some strong indication for our growth strategy, so as I said, roughly 40% of our revenues is still generated in Germany, and in the first 9 months we grew in Germany by 8% opposite last year, and we have a good, even diversified portfolio within Europe. So for instance, Switzerland grew 10%, UK grew 38% opposite last year. And just to give you a flavor of our growth strategy abroad, which is really convincing not only to me, is basically the growth rates in the first 9 months, for instance, in the region of Asia-Pacific is at a level of 90% up opposite last year. So, for instance, with Japan as a very strong market, 25% up. And, for instance, North America, we have a growth push of 16% opposite last year for the first 9 months. And also America and Central and South America is above 100% up opposite last year. So you can clearly see that these numbers are a clear indication that we have a very well growth strategy in place that is generating revenues. In Q3, we saw revenues from software license sales grow very strong and actually stronger than those from software service contracts. We really saw a good performance here at Alban with high license sales. So this is a promising basis to start from after the issues in the past. But please, before we will start to be totally satisfied, there is still a lot of work to do and market conditions are not getting easier these days. So coming to the EBITDA, it did not rise as strong as the revenues did. The reason here is again our growth initiatives, which led to higher personal expenses. So basically the headcount increased by 60 people year to date opposite 2011. And we saw also SG&A rising. But the good news is here that the increase in costs lowered already compared to Q2. The net income that we see the first 9 months is almost at previous year's level at 1.35 euros per share. And you should also know that our tax ratio remains stable at 27%. Coming now to the next page, number 6, which is reflecting the cash table. And we see a steady rise in net cash. As most of you expected, we saw a strong cash generation as well in Q3 again. The operating cash flow increased to 26.3 million euros. So put in relation with our EBITDA of 28.4 million euros, this led to a conversion rate of nearly 93%. So CapEx was also at a level of 3.9 million euros for the first 9 months, 2012. So this is also in line with the guidance we gave you of about 5 to 6 million euros for CapEx for the full year 2012. And if there is no debt on our balance sheet, this directly led to an increase of our net cash position of in total 37.8 million euros. And by the way, our equity ratio increased to 66% after 64% at the end of 2011. The next page, number 7, is the divisional performance. And the divisional performance is satisfying to us. You see that here the design division grew over proportional, as I mentioned before, due to a pick up in sales activities at Alplan. So design, you know, Alplan is consisting of this design division, Vectorworks, Graphisoft, SIA, Frilo and Clasa. Actually all of these brand companies did a very good job, especially in the third quarter. So the same thing in the build division. You know, build is comprising of the companies, the brand companies, our Bausoftware and Altplan. The customer spending in the build division picked up again after a rather mixed second quarter. And the managed division, which is consisting of Altplan and the company Nemetschek Krem, saw also a growth of 11% for the first 9 months, which was, of course, fostered by the positive revenue development. And last but not least, our multimedia division with our rendering specialist Maxon, the revenues increased by 6%, which is still a great performance considering the strong growth in the record year 2011 here. Looking at the EBITDA of the design division, you can easily understand why I'm saying that it's not yet the time to be satisfied totally about the positive development at Altland. The growth initiative led to an increase in costs, so EBITDA was flat here with a margin decreasing to 19%. The build division showed good cost control, so we saw a strong margin performance here. And the other divisions performed as expected. Margins here developed on behalf of the effects I just mentioned. So you might ask, how does the development affect our guidance now? I'm coming to page number 9. So basically, it doesn't affect our guidance, not at all. The guidance we gave you in July is valid for us. The development we saw in Q3 is really a development against the trend in the industry. So we are aware of the fact that things definitely will not become easier for us in Q4, but we really keep the guidance on the level that we explained in July 2012. So it's 175 million euros at a minimum in revenues, and the absolute number of EBITDA at the 2011 level at 39.3 million euros. What we currently see in the development of the October figures even give us support for our guidance. So we see that we are really on track. And here again, we see a good market and brand mix. So this is clearly reflected in the October figures. And also things at Alstom are developing in the right direction. If in the course of this current optimization process at Alstom we should be confronted with unexpected issues, this would be not part of the guidance. So the guidance is really based on a realistic scenario, which is valid for us. So maybe let me hand now over to my investor relations officer, Ingo Mittelmänner, and he will tell you what is on our agenda in terms of investor relations events for the rest of this year.
Yeah, thank you very much, Tanya. For IR activities in Q3, just let me mention one thing. We're very proud. We have three new analysts covering our stock. That's Knut Wollert from Baader Bank, Sebastian Grabert from Berenberg Bank, and Felix Parmentier from Close Brothers Seidler Bank. They really did a great job with their initiation study, and we're happy to have them on board as really good analysts. So if anybody has questions about the share, don't just ask us. We're always there for you, but I think we have strong support here from the banking side now, and we will support the strong development of the share price in the past months with a lot of IR activity in Q4 too. So as you can see here, we'll be on the German Equity Forum, some conferences, roadshows in Switzerland, and the Berenberg Conference in Penny Hill, and then closing the year again in Switzerland. So I think there's enough time for you to see us on the road. If you have further questions, please always feel free to contact me. I'll always be there to answer your questions. And now, thank you very much for listening to our presentation, and we're happy to take your questions now.
Thank you. We will now begin our question and answer session. If you have a question for our speakers, please dial 01 on your telephone keypad now to enter the queue. Once your name has been announced, you can ask your question. If you find your question is answered before it's your turn to speak, you can dial 02 to cancel your question. If you're using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selections. One moment, please, for the first question. The first question comes from Mr. Sebastian Grabert by Berenberg Bank. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon. I have three quick questions. First question would be around Mr. Lütke's departure. Could you give us a little bit more details and insight into what actually the reasons were for the sudden departure of Mr. Lütke? And the second is about the Alstom restructuring. Could you please give us more details about the steps taken so far, which have actually led to the increase in the profitability of the design segment? And if you could as well elaborate a bit the restructuring plan going forward. And the last question is related to personal expenses, where we've seen an increase of 14% year on year. Could you please give us a bit more color on how hiring will be in Q4 and how this actually will impact the personal expenses? Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Grabert. Coming to your first question, why Mr. Lütke has been dismissed. As we have seen, the decision was made by the Supervisory Board, by Supervisory Board resolution dated October 19th. There have been important reasons for his dismissal that legally justifies his layoff. Therefore, the company does not plan with severance costs for Mr. Lütke. Actually, the whole process was not planned. Therefore, this was also something that occurred suddenly for us. So details on his dismissal are not disclosed yet due to potential legal issues. So what is the impact for you as our investors? Actually, it's a change in the executive board. So you should not be worried about. Actually, I've been in control and in the management position for the past 4 months, basically. I was steering and leading the company successfully. And in addition, I'm heading the Corporate Strategic Committee, the CSC, with strong and experienced CSO of the principal brands who support me actually in all the technological and strategic issues from Vectorworks, Graphisoft, Altran, SIA, and new Maxon. So yesterday night we communicated the future structure of the executive board. So I will be solely executive board member, but as I said, the CSC will support me as a kind of advisory board on strategic issues. So there has been also a CSC meeting in the past couple of days on which the supervisory board expressed their trust in my person, as well as the CSC members expressed also the trust in my person. And if you might ask, okay, how this change will actually affect our strategy, so we will see that we will continue with our growth strategy, as I was just referring to explaining the Q3 result and the 9 months result, and we will sharpen actually our focus on technology and on customers, and we will for sure further improve the efficiency of the organization. So this is what I would like to explain to you on your first question. So the second question was referring to Altran and the measures going forward there. So actually, so how are we, or where are we within the optimization process, and how does this process proceed so far? We did the first successful steps here, but still things will go on, so this will be a continuous improvement process as we will see for all companies. The sales channel has been realigned, so we see here also at Altran, or we implemented a good mix of direct and indirect sales, and we see in Q3 that this actually re-emphasis of the sales team was really leading to outstanding results for Altran. So we did also a KPI system to be implemented, or we already implemented it at Altran. We also have some pilots in telesales and so on. We have implemented a couple of measures at Altran in improving the sales efficiency. And what we also did at Altran is that we aligned the research and development departments in Munich and in Slovakia, in Bratislava, to execute a more efficient R&D development. Also, what we improved at Altran is we improved the product marketing, and so we actually implemented a web launch for the new launch of the 2013 Altran release, which was launched in October 10th. And this bundle of activities, which are already implemented and actually what we did is we refocused the company to the clear objective, led to the first positive results in Q3. And if you ask what are the restructuring costs so far, so Q3 was almost fully used to gain a complete picture of the situation at Allplan. So actually we did not undertake very cost-intense optimization steps. So actually we included roughly 1 million euro for cost optimization so far at Allplan. And for the rest of the year, all of our costs for the next steps planned in Q4 are comprised in the outlook, as I just stated within the presentation. So if you might ask, will further costs arise? So as I said, costs included in our current outlook will comprise all optimization costs on the basis of a realistic scenario. So, but of course, if as we are in a business world, and if there might be even a chance, a small chance that critical issues pop up, so then this will also be taken into the scenario. So there, you might be asked also how many staff have been dismissed or are planned to be laid off. As we know from our main competitor, Autodesk, that they really focused on this, on that. So far, there have not been any optimization measures linked with the dismissals besides the management change at Allplan, and for the future this cannot be ruled out. So basically we have no dedicated number of layoffs in mind, but for sure we will optimize the personnel situation at Allplan continuously, streamlining the position of Allplan, which has to be a much actually more customer-focused position with a faster time to market for the R&D process. And this continued optimization process will go on, but as I said, it will not affect actually the bottom line, not any further. So this is totally comprised in the outlook for 2012. And so I think this was actually the question on Allplan. So the third question is concerning the personal expenses. You asked why did personal expenses rise again. So the run rate in 2011 was for Q1 17.1 million euro, in Q2 again 17.1 million euro, in Q3 16.7 million euro. So you see that Q3 2011 was quite lower in personal expenses, and if you now compare the 2012 number with the very low Q3 number to 2011, then even the increase of the 2012 number looks even higher. So in 2012 we see a constant personal expense number of about 19.1 million euros. And that's why we had this increase in Q3 that you can see in the numbers. And again, in the third quarter, the personal expenses remained stable compared with Q2. But for the fourth quarter, we expect a slight increase versus Q4 due to an increase in staffing at those companies with a growth strategy. So this is mainly Vectorworks, Graphisoft, and Maxon. And as I referred to within the presentation, you see that our growth initiatives are not really, not only actually put on paper, our growth initiatives are really in place and they deliver revenues and also for sure EBITDA. So I hope that I could answer your question, Mr. Grabert.
Great. Thank you very much for the insight. Thank you.
The next question comes from Mr. Knut Woller by Baader Bank. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, hello, thank you, and congratulations on a good rebound on the quarter. Maybe just two questions. First, when you were talking a lot about the optimization at Allplan, if I remember correctly, you had a peak margin of the Allplan unit around about 22%. So what would be a fair assumption when you could get back to this level? That's question one. The second question, if we just look now at the initiatives you have taken, it's pretty much about growth, and we are now somewhere in higher single-digit growth. Could you give us an idea how we should think about growth and margin expansion beyond 2012? Thanks.
Okay. So thank you for your questions. The first question was about Allplan and when Allplan will be in the position to deliver actually a margin of 22% and basically return to the to this former strength. Actually, we see this 22% possible for even the next and the outer years. So this is for sure also depending on the market situation. We know that Allplan has a certain market and customer portfolio, and we see that despite the market portfolio, we have actually Allplan as a brand that is really covering some of the divisions. So it covers for sure design, but also manage and also build. So what we think, and actually which is also one of our plans that we initiated during the optimization process, we will further expand on especially the engineering part of Allplan. So if this strategy and the measures behind will materialize, then we see Allplan back to the 22% late 2013, 2014. So, so this is basically on Allplan. And so there was, I think, a second part of your question, which was basically the growth for the future. And actually, we are not totally independent from the construction sector, but we see that so far we haven't hit very negatively from this construction sector. So this is really something that we have to highlight on. And the expectation of growth is a very stable picture for 2013 and 14 onwards, because we really highly believe that we have a perfect set of, as I explained, market portfolio. So we really have a strong leveraging and diversification effect here. And because we have so many little, brands, I'm talking about little brands in comparison to the one big brand of Autodesk. We have these brands, and through the brands actually and the different customers, we have even a high kind of leverage impact. And we have this strong market in the German, Switzerland, and Austrian, so that the so-called DACH region, which makes up more than 50%, actually roughly 50 to 60%, with this high growth rate that we see also continuing in the next couple of years. And in addition to that, because we are capable of a good cost management, we see actually a very stable outlook basically on the outlook that we have given for 2012. We see such a stable picture for the outer years.
Great, thank you.
The next question comes from Mr. Mohamed Moawalla by Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Can you perhaps comment a bit around some of the softening you've seen on the end market? And I'm just trying to understand, when you guys would see the pronounced impact of that would that be sort of fairly late in the day? So I'm just trying to understand how the linearity of your business works. And secondly, with regards to the sort of medium-term growth projection, just want to clarify, can you put that in actual, quantify that in numbers? Are we talking sort of high single digit is what you think is a sustainable growth rate for the business, or mid-single digit? If you could put some numbers on that, that would be great. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Mohamed. Concerning the first part of your question, the softening of the market, actually, we, as I said, we can currently, we don't see these negative impacts on us at all. So currently, we are so lucky to be in a position that we are not hit. And otherwise, we cannot explain the Q3 results, right? So I know you also have your forecast on us on Q3. Actually, yes, we have this license sales increased by 15%, which is outstanding, honestly. It's outstanding. And so we don't see the softening touch of the market. We really have our view that we have strong market, we have a strong customer base, and as I said, we have actually the strength that we have different brands, and we have tailored software solutions to our different customer groups, and we have different customer groups. So there is a high leverage effect that you don't see, for instance, in other software actually providers. And actually, Mohamed, as you know, we have really a conservative view. So our outlook for 2012 is definitely not exaggerated. Yeah. So I still have in mind what we plan on outline in Q4. So therefore I can, be quite, I'm not saying relaxed. Yeah. So as business is for sure something where we have also put our passion and our commitment together in order to make strong results. But there is no doubt on that, for me at least. And our next year outlook we will give when we present the preliminary figures for 2012 in mid of February 2013. And from our current position, and I'm so lucky that it's so strong. And actually what I said before, you know that Nemetschek Group is a decentralized a decentralized company, and also the Nemetschek AG is a so-called strategic holding. But as I was referring to, we have had the CSC meeting taking place a couple of days now. And what we did there is such a strong alignment, such a strong, Mr. Krabat gave this headline of building on collaboration, so that we, honestly, I feel that we are such a strongly aligned company that we can even stand weaknesses in the market. We have really a motivated team, and what the best is that also the motivation and the clear focus of Altman is coming back. So, the term, or what you were asking, the three-year midterm guidance, which is giving more visibility for sure for you as investors, we will provide in mid of February 2013. And what we are currently running within our budgeting process, as every company is doing in the November, October, November month, it's clearly consisting of a three-year plan. Actually, it's the first time that we will issue a three-year plan, a midterm guidance, in mid of February 2016. I really hope that I could answer your question.
Okay, that's great. Thank you.
The next question comes from Mr. Jens Jung by BHF Bank. Please go ahead.
Jens Jung, BHF Bank. Hello. I have four questions. Starting, my first question is regarding the impairment on the financial asset, which impacted your P&L by 1 million negatively. Maybe give us some insights, more insights about this impairment. The second question is regarding your depreciation amortization growth, which was above the revenue growth in the first 9 months 2012. What's the reason behind that? And the last, well, the third question is regarding, would it be possible to split the revenue growth of 8% by pricing effect and by a volume effect, which give us some more insight about the pricing and the demand situation of the clients regarding your products. And my last question is regarding also regarding Outlook 2013. You mentioned that you will give it on mid of February, but what is your expectation regarding pricing in 2013? Are you believing or believe you that price would be for your products could be rising in the next few quarters, or would it be a more critical or more depressed demand situation, which will not be able to increase prices in this environment? These are the four questions from my side.
Okay, so thank you for your four questions. I will try to answer those in a row. Concerning the impairment and the depreciation, first question, this impairment, this depreciation is based on an investment decision which was made in 2011. So actually, we have had now two write-downs, actually $500,000 in Q3, and in Q2 we already had $500,000, so these are one-off, so one-time impact. And if you might ask for what kind of investment this financial asset was built, it was a kind of strategic business opportunity. So this is actually the impairment you are referring to in your first question.
Mm-hmm.
So the second, I think actually that you referred to the depreciation amortization in probably total?
In total, yes.
Okay.
Due to my model, I think depreciation amortization grew by 15% to 8.7 million euros in 9 month period 2012 compared to 8% revenue growth, which means that the ratio from depreciation amortization to sales is higher than last year at the same time. Maybe you can give us some indication about this.
Yeah. So, No. So I will actually come to this question later. I first answer the pricing issues on your questions 3 and 4. In total, the depreciation that we currently see, as I said, is unfortunately it's burdened by this financial asset investment that the company was undertaking in 2011. So this is 1 million, and actually this 1 million really hit our depreciation window. So this
okay.
is actually what you see. So there
okay.
is nothing irregular or
okay.
something like that. So this is unfortunately
okay.
this is really a disinvestment
yeah.
from 2007.
Okay.
So
then it's okay.
Coming to your third question, actually we had no major changes in Q3. Do you refer in this 8% revenue growth? Do you refer to the first 9 months?
Yeah.
Right? So
I'm interested in the general pricing trend over the year 2012. Was the pricing trend positive, or was the pricing trend more or less stable? And the revenue growth was driven by higher number of sold licenses or of higher numbers of maintenance contracts. How does the revenue growth was impacted?
Okay, so the pricing trend for the first 9 months was stable, and if you might ask what is the trend for Q4, it's also stable. We see even slight pricing increases in some markets, so by Graphisoft, by Altman, for the launch of the new releases.
Okay.
So we have a stable trend, and actually, so as a result, the revenue growth is based on volume.
Okay.
So it's really a volume growth.
Okay.
And concerning the fourth question, which was also on pricing, we expect the trend also continue stable.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please dial 01 on your telephone keypad now. The next question comes from Mr. Stefan Hornum by Discover Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Only one short question on your interest expenses. Your balance sheet is quite strong, and in Q3 you still have interest expenses of 0.4 million euros. Can you explain why it's still so high, and when will this go to a balanced ratio?
Okay, thank you, Mr. Hornum, for your question. The interest expenses in the first 9 months actually sum up to negative 1.2 million euros. Actually, there have been some interest payments for the rest of the debt of the Graphisoft acquisition for sure, which was paid back in the first half of the year. But we have also an interest swap, which resulted also from the acquisition of Graphisoft as a kind of, basically leveraging the loan for Graphisoft. This interest swap runs until July 2014. And this interest swap significantly affects the interest and generates payouts of roughly 300 to 400 euros per quarter. And this is the negative impact you still see in the Q3 quarter. Actually, I also would like to have this interest swap eliminated, but unfortunately it runs until July 2014 and it was entered as the Graphisoft loan was built.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
There are no further questions. I now hand back to Mr. Middlemanner.
Yeah, thank you very much for your questions. I think we could answer them all. And if you have further questions and read through the presentation in the next days again and have the opinion that you need further input, please don't hesitate to call us, as I said before. And now, thank you again very much for participating in the call, and see you next time in February at the latest.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attendance. This call has been concluded. You may now disconnect.